According to the Alzheimer's Association, 6.2 million Americans have Alzheimer's disease. It affects 1 in 9 people aged 65 and older. Most of them are at least 75. Caring for loved ones with Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia can be difficult as their mental and physical faculties decline and their behavior becomes unpredictable. It can be easy to feel emotionally drained, physically exhausted, and alone. Our next guest says your needs as a caregiver are just as important as the patient's and has written a new book to help provide insight, guidance, and advice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a caregiver of a family member with dementia? What was it like? What were some of your biggest challenges? Were there things that really seemed to help or some advice or resources you got that made a difference for you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Andrew Budson is an associate director of the Boston University Alzheimer's Disease Center, a School of Medicine professor of neurology, and chief of cognitive and behavioral neurology at the VA Boston Healthcare System. He's co-author of the new book, 6 Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families. Dr. Budson, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me back.
Well, there's a lot of challenges. These can be difficult conversations to have, but what I got from your book, Dr. Budson, was a lot of hope that there are a lot of practical things that real people could do that can make life a lot better. We don't have to assume that the worst case scenario is what it has to be.
Absolutely. No, it's really so true. I think people often think about, oh, you know, I have, you know, Alzheimer's, my loved one has Alzheimer's, it's a medical problem, I need to solve it with medications. But in fact, although medications do play a small role and they can be important, it's all the things that you as a family member, as a caregiver can do that really will make the difference in your life and the life of your loved one.
You give some concrete strategies for dealing with difficult situations. First of all, can you talk about some of the day-to-day challenges you hear about from patients and other people you talk to for your book that with some strategies we can overcome?
Absolutely. So, you know, one common thing that happens is people with Alzheimer's and other dementias, they get upset. And so one reason they might get upset is that they think, because of their memory problems, that they don't live in the house they're actually living in at the present time. They think, you know, that they're in the house that they grew up in or the house they were in 30 years ago. So they might walk to the door and say, you know, I want to go home, you know. And as the caregiver, you're like, you know, hey, you already are home. But sort of reasoning with someone with dementia, you know, trying to sort of talk them out of it is not usually effective. And so we normally recommend for something like that a strategy that we call the 4 R's. Mm-hmm. We want to reassure our loved one that everything's okay. We want to reconsider things from their perspective, you know, that they don't understand that they're living in a different home than they did previously. We want to redirect them to something that is both calming and will distract them from whatever it is that's upsetting them. And then the 4th R is for us as caregivers, which is relax. Take a deep breath and make sure that we're not feeling irritated or angry or upset so we don't reflect those emotions back to our loved ones.
That's the 4 R's. You've also got an ABC system for diagnosing these problems and what triggers them again and again to try to predict and maybe be ready to redirect. Can you talk us through your ABCs?
Absolutely. So the ABC stands for antecedents, behaviors, and consequences. And when we have a behavior that we can't manage simply with something like the 4 R's, we need to really dive deep and, you know, take a look at, well, what were the things that were leading up to the behavior? You know, what were the, you know, precipitants? So imagine that is sort of yelling and screaming. And, you know, some of the antecedents to that might be that it's, you know, 5 p.m. in the evening. And it might be that maybe he missed lunch that day, or maybe it's just that time of day, it's getting late in the evening. So we look at the antecedents, things that are leading up to the behavior. Then the B, the behavior, we want to dive deeply into it. We don't just want to say dad was yelling or screaming. We want to say he was, you know, yelling for 15 minutes. This was the content. You know, he also perhaps stamped his feet. He stamped his feet so powerfully it shook the china in the cabinet. You know, we want to try to quantify things as much as we can. And then the C is the consequences. So what happened? You know, maybe the consequences are that, you know, we know whatever is upsetting dad, if we give him some chocolate ice cream, you know, then he'll calm down. And what we may have inadvertently reinforced is that, oh, anytime dad wants chocolate ice cream, he just has to yell and scream long enough and loud enough, and we'll give him chocolate ice cream. So we use the ABCs when behaviors are hard to sort of fix with a quick fix, and we need to think about them more carefully.
We're talking to Dr. Andrew Budson. He's co-author of the new book, Six Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have an experience yourself at giving care to a family member with some form of dementia, something that was a particular challenge to you, that is a particular challenge to you maybe right now, or solutions you found, things that helped you out, call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Budson, we heard from Shirley on Facebook. Shirley writes, I have a hard time with the personality change. They used to be sweet and agreeable and are now so very stubborn. They used to care very much about their appearance, and now you can't get them to change out of dirty clothes or get their hair washed. What you think you know about your loved one is no longer the case. That's not that a lot of people are going through this. Shirley isn't alone, Dr. Budson. What kind of thoughts do you have for someone in that situation?
It can be really difficult. And, you know, the first thing to say is, you know, remember that, you know, it's the disease that's doing it. It's not that, you know, your loved one, suddenly you realize, oh, they're not the person I thought they were. No, they're the person they were before the disease took hold. So it's just, I think it's just helpful as a mindset to realize that, you know, it's the disease that's causing these problems. And some people do, you know, go from being sweet to being, you know, cantankerous or argumentative. And sometimes people can actually go the other way around. When people become more argumentative, sometimes it's because we're not sort of understanding how they're feeling and what is going on. Maybe their sleep has been disturbed and they're not getting good sleep. Maybe that's why they're upset. You know, but sometimes, you know, we do actually reach out for a medication. And when someone is sort of feeling, you know, frustrated or irritable about their memory problems, or they're feeling confused and they're angry because they don't know where they are and they think they should go home or something like that, a little bit of a medication that's in the Prozac family, such as sertraline, which is a brand name of Zoloft, or escitalopram, brand name of Lexapro, can sometimes help with that as well. And the last thing I'll just mention about not wanting to change their clothes, you know, that can be a problem. And, you know, I'm all about using little tricks to help with things like that, you know. So if they take their clothes off at night, you know, make sure you take those clothes and you put them out of sight, you know, put them in the washing machine, put them in the hamper, something like that. If the problem is they don't want to get out of it at all, you know, maybe you can see if they'd be willing to get into the bathtub, and that would be a way that they could change their clothes. Or you could even do something like, you know, maybe you're trying to give them a little bit of a bath and the clothes get wet and you say, oh my God, you know, I'm sorry, I got your shirt wet. I guess we'll have to take that off and put you on a dry shirt, something like that.
You also reminded me, mentioning possible prescriptions, that it could be easy to assume that any new problem is because of Alzheimer's or whatever other form of dementia somebody might have. But it could also be things like depression or anxiety because having dementia can be very stressful, or it can be a hearing or vision problem. When should we seek medical attention and not just assume this is a straight up consequence of dementia?
Yeah, it's a really good good question. You know, you want to make sure you have a good diagnosis to begin with, and to recognize if someone says, you know, your loved one has dementia, that tells you about sort of the scope of the problem, that it's relatively severe. It tells you that it interferes with day-to-day function. It's not actually a diagnosis in itself, you know, so you have to ask the doctor, well, what's causing the dementia? What's causing it? But you make a good point that sometimes when someone already has dementia, things can get worse. And you want to try and figure out, is it worse just because of the dementia, or is it a side effect of a medication? Or is it that they're depressed, or do they have a medical problem? And I think the bottom line has to be, if you are a caregiver and you are just not sure, or you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, this seemed to correlate with a new medicine, or all of a sudden this change seems rather precipitous, you definitely want to talk to the doctor and see if it's due to a medical problem, medication side effect, or something like that.
We're getting advice on providing care for loved ones with dementia. Dr. Andrew Budson is with us, Associate Director of the Boston University Alzheimer's Disease Center, co-author of the new book, Six Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been a caregiver for someone with dementia, or are you right now? Or some of the most difficult things, the biggest challenges you found, what kind of help did you find you needed most? What advice do you have for other people who are stepping into that role now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the challenges of caring for loved ones with Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia and getting some practical advice for people in that caregiver role. Dr. Andrew Budson stays with us from the School of Medicine at the VA and the VA Boston Healthcare System. He co-wrote a new book titled Six Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families, a School of Medicine at Boston University, I should say. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have an experience you'd like to share, a challenge you have now or have had helping a loved one with dementia, call 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard on Facebook from Joan, who writes, the hardest part is role reversal when the patient is a parent and not being able to comfort them and relieve all their fears when their minds can no longer comprehend the world around them. Your pain will be just as hard to bear as theirs. Dr. Budson, thoughts for somebody like Joan in that role, caring for a parent and wanting to be able to comfort them?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, first of all, I want to comment about that role reversal, because it can be so hard for family members. You know, they're used to, you know, relating to their parent, you know, or their spouse as, you know, sort of an independent adult with, you know, ability to sort of, you know, reason through problems with you and help you out and be rational, and now, you know, all of a sudden things are gone. And it's hard when we still have those, you know, the habits, the reflexes, the attitudes of treating our loved one the way we have, you know, for the last, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And now we have to treat them in a very different way. We have to be the ones who are comforting them. We may need to treat them as, you know, someone who's not capable of, you know, being the same person that they were before. And psychologically, that can be very hard. And it's actually one of the reasons that we wrote some little sort of story vignettes into the book that we hope will help caregivers to make that transition. And, you know, the things to do to comfort our loved ones, you know, usually, when we're with them and right there and are able to, you know, be next to them and, you know, hold their hand or, you know, stroke their forehead or do comforting things, they're usually fine. Usually the difficulty is, well, we then need to go do the bills, or we need to make dinner, or we need to go to work or something like that. and it can be very difficult. And there are some non-pharmacological things that can help with that. Turns out music can really be a wonderful tool to helping make our loved one feel more comfortable, pulling out an old familiar tune, something that they know and like, can usually be very helpful. Other things that can be helpful include real pets, even if they were never an animal person. Many people really enjoy the comfort of an animal in this stage of life. And it turns out that once people have progressed to the moderate and severe stages, sometimes one of these robot pets that you can buy, they're sort of like, they look sort of like cats and they move a little bit like cats, but they don't run away. They just stay on your lap. Can be comforting to many people, and even a stuffed animal can be comforting. So there's a lot of things that one can do to comfort a loved one.
Let's bring on our callers now at 800-642-1234. Andrea is with us in Menominee Falls. Andrea, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention we had a relative who had a sudden increase in the amount of dementia she was showing, and it no one could quite understand what was going on, and the sundowner's effect seemed to be worse, and what it ended up taking a very long time to find out was she had a urinary tract infection, which evidently is quite common to cause dementia type issues with especially older people. And one of the other relatives who was a nurse said, has she been tested for a urinary tract infection? You know, and so that's something that I think people should, including doctors, should keep in the back of their head, that we do have to look for other physical things.
Andrea, thanks for the call. Dr. Budson.
Oh, absolutely, Andrea. I so agree with you. And I do think that all of us doctors can sometimes be a little quick to just attribute a symptom to, oh, that's just dementia, or, yeah, they're just getting worse in the evening. We call that sundown. You know, that's all it is. But you're right. You know, everyone needs to think, you know, could this be a medical problem? Could this be a urinary tract infection? Could this be a pneumonia? Could this be a stroke? We definitely have to look for those things, particularly because they're quite treatable. So like I think I said once before, you know, if your loved one is not behaving well, if they've had a sudden turn for the worse, do call your doctors and take Andrea's advice and say, hey, what about the urine? Can you look in her urine?
Thanks for that call, Andrea. We're talking to Dr. Andrew Budson. He's co-author of the new book, Six Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families. Back to your calls now. Beth is with us in Grafton. Beth, hello.
Hi. I just have a tip. My mother-in-law had Alzheimer's, and she became very difficult. She was in assisted living before she passed away. But one of my tips is just to keep your sense of humor. And my husband and I didn't laugh at her, but we still chuckle at 3 years after her death of some of the things that she said and the way that she said it. And, you know, you just kind of have to keep your sense of humor about it and realize that it is a disease and not the person. And that helped us get through that. The other thing is not to argue or try to change your mind. There were some family members that would always try to do that, and it just made everything worse. And you know, you're not going to change their mind, and they think what they think, and that's okay. And, you know, just to go along with it, it's not the end of the world for us to be told something that's not true. You know, we can put up with it. So those are my two tips.
Beth, thanks a lot for both of those pieces of advice, Dr. Budson.
Yeah, I totally agree. And a sense of humor is definitely helpful at almost everything in life. And I think your comment about, you know, not arguing and just, you know, trying to sort of change the subject, I think is sort of the way to go. And, you know, something that happens to many patients with dementia, particularly with dementia with Lewy bodies, is they'll sometimes have hallucinations and they'll see people or animals who aren't there, and they may be interacting with the person. They may say, who's that person? They may be frightened of a person, and the person's not really there. And it doesn't help to argue with them and say, oh, this person doesn't exist. I mean, you can say that once, but if it doesn't fix it, don't say it again. The key is to distract them, use those four R's, redirect them to something that's reality-based, and move on. So totally agree with you, Beth. Thank you.
Thanks for that call. And just our last minute or so, Dr. Budson, can you leave us with some thoughts on caring for the health of the caregiver? I know it's easy to say do self-care, but on a practical level, what are some key things people can do?
Absolutely. So the first thing is, you know, don't try to manage someone with dementia all by yourself. You really want to build your care team. You want to enlist other family members, friends, neighbors. And even if they live in another part of the country, there's so much that can be done over the internet these days to help. Like somebody can do their online banking for them. Somebody, even if they can only come over an hour a month, well, that's an hour more, you know, that you have. And then, you know, we want all our caregivers to continue to do the things that they enjoy, continue to see their friends and make time for themselves, do things that they enjoy, make sure you eat right, exercise, take care of your own doctor's appointments. All of those things are absolutely critical, and you'll be a better caregiver if you take care of yourself.
Dr. Budson, thanks so much for joining us again today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Dr. Andrew Budson, Associate Director of the Boston University Alzheimer's Disease Center. We talked to him about his new book. He's co-author of Six Steps to Managing Alzheimer's Disease and Dementia, A Guide for Families.